Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach, always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself? I got an interesting email.
And you know, I get interesting emails all the time, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Hi there, this is Carol the Coach, and this is Strength, Hope, and Recovery, Sex Help with Carol the Coach. You know, this show is specifically designated for people with sexual addictions, and I've made it my mission to go out there and educate you about the resources available and to talk about what you need to do to get healthy, because I really do believe that this is an epidemic. And I interview some of the best. And next week I have Rob Weiss on, who is an amazing speaker, writer. He runs several different treatment centers all over the country, and we're going to be talking about what is sexual addiction from his perspective. I've actually attended workshops that Rob has given, and I'm working real hard to get him down here to Indianapolis where we can educate people in the Midwest about what services are available. Because I got to tell you that a lot of people truly don't know what to do with this. And when they go to a good therapist, someone who really has a lot of clinical skills, it can be very difficult for therapists to know what to do too. And so Rob and I are both certified sexual addictions therapists, and we really believe that there's specialized help out there for you. So that is what we're going to be doing next Monday. But for now, let's talk about what is on your mind. You know, I received an email from somebody who has a pretty significant disability, and he said that he's been experiencing a lot of sexual fantasies, and he's curious as to why he has that experience. You know, he says, you know, I know that I have post-traumatic stress disorder, and I've got learning disabilities, and I've had poverty for most of my life, and I didn't have good family relationships with my mother or my father. And he said, you know, life has been very, very tough. And what makes it worse is when he was younger, he watched bestiality pornography, and he found himself intrigued with that. And, you know, he said, make no mistake, I have never done anything with an animal, but I am intrigued by these videos, and it is arousing, and I want to get healthy. I want to learn how to turn these fantasies off. Now, you know, interestingly enough, when I talk to the general population about sexual addiction, I think they think three or four specific things. They think, oh my goodness, Carol's working with pedophiles. She's working with child molesters. Or they think, oh my gosh, Carol's working with people who have sex with dead people, people that have sex with animals, or people that have control type sex, S&M. Well, I do get some of those cases, most definitely. But the majority of my cases are men and women who have obsessive compulsive thoughts and fantasies about sex and then take greater and greater risks to act those out. You know, they may watch hours and hours of pornography. They may actually use drugs or alcohol to numb themselves so that they can do this. They may get on chat rooms. They may contact people. They may do a variety of things that they are terribly, terribly ashamed of. Now, this man that had emailed me about his fantasies said that he had a lot of trauma as a kid. Because of some significant disabilities, he was bullied at school and in the workplace, and it lasted for years. He felt horrible about himself. He said, you know, when he was caught at age five masturbating, his mother shamed and blamed him and hit him. He said that one of his buddies at school was actually murdered by his own father. And this was coupled with more trauma in that allegedly this man decapitated his son. And he can't get that out of his mind either. So you can see where this man that has written me is really under a lot of stress and pressure. He has obsessive thinking. He can't get some of these thoughts out of his head. And he wants help. Now, his problem is he doesn't have a lot of money. He's on disability, and so he brings in about $800 a month. If you're on disability, more than likely you qualify for mental health services for the indigent. You're actually a lot better off than somebody who brings home $2,000 a month but has no insurance, because he or she doesn't qualify for that specialized help. Now, he says, I want an expert. I've been to many clinicians who really just didn't understand me, thought I was perverted, and didn't know how to help me. And I understand that. And so, you know, what he really needs to do is to reach out to, you know, he needs to use the web to his advantage. He needs to go to sexhelp.com. And he needs to look for certified sexual addictions therapist and see if there's anybody who does pro bono work or does reduced rate work. He needs to start educating himself with bibliotherapy. You know, you've heard me say it time and time again. I highly recommend Out of the Shadows, a beginning book for people with any kind of sexual deviance. And he needs to get himself the workbook Facing the Shadow so he can actually do the work. Now, this man has trouble with sight, and so he's going to have to be able to buy books that actually allow him to work within a Braille system. And I am sure he can get that done. There is no doubt in my mind that reading does not necessarily have to stop him. Now, the good news is this man, even though he has not acted out, he is significantly distressed and would benefit from either a group called Recovery Nation, which is an internet group that helps people get healthy, or he needs to go to 12-step meetings. SA or SAA would be two likely choices. I'm sure he probably has some internet capability since he sent me an email. His spelling was great, So, I mean, if you have internet capabilities, you need to find out what groups are available and get yourself to those groups. That will help you get some of the free assistance that will help to decrease the fantasies. Because here's the deal. You know, when somebody has obsessive compulsive thoughts, they really need to calm themselves down. And that means they need to stay away from any kind of sexual stimulation. And that is so imperative to do. And so, you know, he cannot by himself stop these behaviors. He needs a whole group of people to help him. You've heard me reference it before. He needs a committee that's greater than the actual addiction itself. And, you know, if he thinks that he is stronger than his addiction, I have to say, no, he isn't. I hate to be a downer. I hate to dash hope. But what we know about addiction is that it requires a multitude of resources. Interestingly enough, I was talking to a man who is really having difficulty staying away from an extramarital affair. And he keeps going back to her. And he's going back over and over and over again. And I said to him, we'll call him Tim. I said, Tim, you know, you need extra support. I'd like for you to consider going to 90 meetings in 90 days. And he was right on the verge of losing his wife. So Tim said, I will do whatever it takes. In the meantime, he talked to a sponsor. And he went to one group that he really didn't like. You know, I have to tell you, we always say go to 6 groups before you make a decision. You know, more than likely groups are going to feel unfamiliar and uncomfortable. So I said, go, you know, to 6 meetings at the same place before you decide that group is not for me. He talked to a sponsor. And a sponsor, whom I know, is not a real proponent of groups. Although I got to tell you, the sponsor, he got his sobriety hooking up with the right people in a group setting. So I'm confused as to why he is anti-groups, but he just told this man, Tim, to work on his first step. Now, I think that's excellent advice. Everybody should be working on their first step. If they're just new to the program, that's where you start. But I would encourage him to work on the first step as well as go to those meetings. It proves to his wife that he's really wanting to work on things. He's getting good information. He's making contacts. And I guarantee you, he will either leave those groups going, wow, my problems are not nearly as bad as most of the people in that group, or he'll say, wow, my problems are worse than others, and it will be a reinforcement to stay in the group. Now, if you have an issue that you want to talk about tonight, feel free to give me a call at 646-595-3284. I only take serious callers. Last week, we had a few callers that I believe were pranking me. And that's always disheartening to want to do a serious show and have some people, by virtue of the fact that we're talking about sex here, they take advantage of the situation and they don't really need the help. And if that's the case, you know, I just want you to know that, of course, I would hang up on those people immediately. But truly, there are plenty of people out there that do have questions. And that's why you can always call me at 646-595-3284. And you can email me at carolthecoach@aol.com. And I will be more than happy to speak with you about what issues you're facing. You know, sexual addiction is such a serious problem, but at the same time, I have to tell you that life can be tough anyway. You know, whether you have a good, healthy family, whether you're in recovery and really work in a program and things are solid, whether you have an addiction or not, life can get stressful. And so what do you do? What do you do to maintain good mental health and to stay positive and realistic? Now, I teach cognitive behavioral therapy. And that therapy is pretty interesting because what that therapy is based on is your thoughts create specific feelings that activate specific behaviors that then create more negative thoughts or positive, depending on what the thoughts are. And it just is what we call auto-exacerbating. It continues to keep the cycle going. And I can't emphasize enough that there are ways to train your brain to think differently. And so with cognitive behavioral therapy, what you do is you look at a situation and you analyze it. You say, what happened? Who was there? When did it happen? And where was I? And then you identify your feelings. You know, did you feel angry, sad, frustrated, embarrassed, hurt? And you give them a rating. You give them a percentage. Gosh, I felt 100% angry, and I felt 100% hurt, and I felt 50% embarrassed. And you actually list these feelings. And then you decide, what are some of the things you tell yourself that make you feel worse about the situation? Let's give it an example. You know, perhaps you just got out of treatment and you are really diligent about wanting to stay in recovery. And one night, for whatever reason, you go to your phone, you disable the Covenant Eyes that actually protects you from getting on online. And so you disable that and you look at pornography. And you know, when it gets disabled, it is going, that report is going to go to somebody that you've identified as your accountability buddy. So you start thinking, oh, you know, I was feeling angry and lonely and sad and dejected, and you give it percentages, and then you realize that the thought you have afterwards is, I'm worthless, I'm never going to be able to do this, recovery isn't possible, I'm a screw-up, I'm an addict, I'll never change. You write down all those really seriously negative thoughts. And then you circle the one that either feels the worst or the thought that you have the most often in your life. And that is called the hot thought. And whenever you have a hot thought like, oh, I'm worthless, I'm never going to amount to anything, I can't do this, it's hopeless, whatever the hot thought is, you have to create evidence that proves that you are all those things. Well, the hot thought especially. Maybe it's I'm worthless. So you find evidence that proves that you're worthless. And then what you do is you find evidence that proves you're not worthless. Maybe that looks like, you know what, I do tuck my kids in bed every night and I read to them. Or no matter how difficult this addiction process is, I do love my wife. Or I go to church and I try to be a good person. So now you've come up with evidence that supported the hot thought, why you feel worthless, and evidence that supports why you're not worthless. Okay, you got both of those columns, you've got both of those rationales. Then you put them together and you say something like, even though I feel worthless when I slip in recovery, what I know to be true is that I'm still a good person, I have a good heart, and I work very diligently on my recovery, despite the fact I'm not perfect. Then you ask yourself, well, now, when I have that thought, which is true, the fact that you feel worthless and the fact that you're trying, you ask yourself, okay, how angry do I feel now? How frustrated? How hopeless? And what you'll find is you actually feel better about yourself. And when you don't beat yourself up, you have more of an opportunity to do good things and to have more recovery. And so that is some individual thinking that can actually promote healthier recovery. And that's the kind of thing that you may learn in a treatment center. Most therapists know cognitive behavioral therapy, so they can help you with that even if they're not trained in sexual addiction. You can at least work on your thinking. And you've heard me say it before, you know, I really, truly believe that most people need to work on their happiness factor. They need to have more gratitude in their life no matter where they're at. You know, I have a client right now who is probably going to go to jail because he is a voyeur and set up a camera to watch family members, coworkers, and friends. And, you know, when he thinks about what he did, now that he's calmed down, now that he's separated from the addiction, he says to himself, my gosh, I had to be the sickest human being out there. But what he also knows to be true is that he has made an awful lot of progress. And in doing so, he's beginning to redeem himself and he's beginning to understand that he has a lot of important and valuable skills that he can pass on to other people. So I'm very pleased that this man is working so hard on his own recovery. Okay, we have a caller, and I'm going to take his call. Hi, this is Carol the Coach. What can I do for you tonight?
Hi, good evening. I just came across your show, quite interesting. I know of someone who I never met who I believe has some sexual problems, but in addition to that, it's combined with paranormal, and it's pretty sad. And
what do you mean that you know somebody but you've not met him? What kind of
relationship? Well, I met them through a radio program and had telephone discussions, and it was almost like a twin flame connection initially until I discovered they were trying to project their energies onto my truth. I wouldn't allow it.
Okay.
And when I called them out on that, I actually, too, discovered in looking at what they were doing, I found that I was dealing with a full-blown narcissist.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, oftentimes people with sexual addiction are not narcissistic but have lived with at least one narcissist. So what made you think that this man or woman had sexual addiction issues?
Well, it was a woman because she told me in conversations that she had been sexually abused by a older brother in her youth. She had had 3 marriages, a couple of internet affairs, and as I'm coming into contact with her, she had a sexual affair that was ongoing with a student 20 years younger than herself.
Mm-hmm.
And was telling me I'm scoring points and stuff.
Well, that's really interesting. And you actually host a show?
No.
She
had one. I called in I'm calling in to you. When I called her out, she was threatening to me in a paranormal way, and then I laughed at it because I said, let's go to court over this. That's what she was threatening with. And I said, that's your own words out of your own mouth on your own radio show. She shut down the show and pulled all the archive shows off that I was on and is running from me now. And she cut all communication. So I am looking to find someone that will take an interest because she needs help. I send her light and love, but I also don't want her to, I don't know if she was successful in the past, but if she's deceiving people and maybe even extorting money or doing things that are illegal, I don't want that to happen to people that will be possible victims in the future of her.
Well, absolutely. And one of the things that I would recommend is whoever is hosting her show to go ahead and report that. You know, anytime there's somebody in power, they may very well take advantage of that. So, you know, I'm glad that you confronted her, and it's a shame that she shut everything down. But at the same time, I think that that says to you that you hit the nail on the head and this woman has a lot of difficulties.
Well, that's the sad part about it, because she claimed that she was holding a place of unconditional love in her heart for mankind, but that resonated with me so deeply because my wife of 35 and a half years blessed me with that lesson before she passed. I extended my love to her in support of that, and then when she started, initially I wasn't sure what she was doing, but when I caught on that she was looking to mind manipulate me and all kinds of stuff, and when I call her out on it, then you know, she knew that I was too much to handle, and but she's reinventing herself. That's the problem. And she's
fear that she's reinventing herself, because you don't know.
I know that
she is.
I'm tracking her. I can track her on in certain ways, and telepathically, I think we're still connected in a lot of ways. So I just am sending her light and love constantly, and hoping that somehow she'll come to a resolution of understanding that she's not thinking straight, but at this point she actually thinks that she's God too. That's another problem that
that's a serious mental health problem. You're exactly right. And you know, the one thing that I can say about sexual addiction, it's about obviously power and control, and people that manifest and manipulate others for sexual pleasure on any level, whether it's a teacher and a student or somebody who's in power at work, you know, they definitely need some help. So I'm glad you're sending her love and light. She's going to need more than that clinically. So again, I would report her. And gosh, I thank you for your call.
Yeah,
you have a great night.
I don't have email, but if I could discuss some of this off air, because I don't have any recourse of how to handle it. I mean, I possibly could try and sue her in a civil court, but I don't want to go that route. She's mentally unstable, and you know, she's out in a state far away from me, so I can't do anything except track her and tell people such as yourself about her that somebody might take an interest. And this is a blockbuster movie. It's tied into some other paranormal stuff. So,
well, go ahead and write that movie. But I've got to tell you, as I put you on hold, that clearly you are sending her a positive light, but there's a lot of energy wrapped up in this for you. And so what I do is I look for other ways of sharing yourself with people. And, you know, you may even find counseling helpful, because clearly this woman has impacted you and affected you. And, you know, you don't want to give somebody too much power to make you feel concerned or bothered. You want to keep that in balance. So thank you so much for your call, and I wish you the best. You know, obviously, there are people all over the world that listen to radio, and they may want that personal relationship with somebody, and that can be very difficult, because oftentimes we're not able to, as hosts of a show, really offer the kind of intense help that they're wanting. So I hope our caller will understand that, you know, clearly that may be an issue he wants to share with a therapist. who can help him get over this. You know, sending somebody light and love is different than wanting to sue them. And it sounds like he was really bothered by that manipulation that he felt. And, you know, with sexual addiction, I cannot emphasize enough, there almost always is manipulation. And that manipulation may look like, honey, go ahead with the kids and take them to the movie. I'm just too tired to do that. And then, of course, that person stays home and looks at porn or calls an escort service or, you know, gets a massage in an inappropriate way. Or, you know, a woman who is in the midst of a fight with her husband and she screams at him, you don't trust me, and the reason that I stay distant from you is because you're always angry with me. But in reality, she's had multiple affairs and she's cheating on him. And she's all of a sudden turned the tables on him and made him feel defensive when in essence she's not coming clean with her own issues. You know, sexual addiction is very much a disorder of lies and deceit. And whenever somebody is deceitful and whenever they lie, you're obviously not going to have any kind of healthy relationship. And therefore, for that reason, that's why we call it an intimacy issue. So if you have a call, feel free to give me a ring at 646-595-3284. We'll see if we can help you. I know that it can be difficult to talk on the air. You're afraid that, you know, someone may hear your voice and recognize you. And you can always email me at carolthecoach@aol.com. And you can take a look at my websites. I have two of them. One is Sex Help with Carol the Coach, and the other is just www.carolthecoach.com. On both sites, I have valuable information. Our number tonight is 646-595-3284. And feel free to call in at any point and ask any questions about sexual addiction that you would like. Now, I had said earlier that it is so important at any stage of recovery that you work on emotional balance. And to do that, there's lots of different set points. There's lots of different ways that you can find happiness. And I recommend that you do so by staying in the moment, having gratitude, and reframe your situation using something I call PMA, and that's positive mental energy or attitude. Now, you may have a goal that has to do with recovery, and what we know about sexual addiction is that typically there's more than one addiction. You know, I was talking to a man tonight who said, hey, I am really abstaining from any unhealthy sexual behavior, but my eating feels really out of control. I'm an emotional and I'm a stress eater. And so for this gentleman, he substituted one addiction for another. Now, we always say, okay, you know, if somebody's a workaholic and that's what they're going to substitute sexual addiction for, that is certainly an addiction that is much more conducive to society. However, it's still not healthy. So have you ever worked hard to lose weight? And you've achieved your goal, and then as you became lax, you were more likely to gain your weight back again. In other words, you gained that weight back in part because you did not maintain the behaviors that assisted you in being successful. Well, any habit disorder, any addiction requires that you always maintain the behaviors that helped you become successful. And so in weight control, you've certainly heard of the term set point. That refers to, you know, that standard weight that if you weren't going to try to lose weight and you weren't overeating, you would stay at that approximate weight. Well, that same theory applies to your attitude. In other words, it may be that you say, okay, I'm going to practice gratitude, and I am going to be grateful every day. Before I get out of bed, I'm going to recite one, two, or three things that make me feel grateful. And before I eat, I'm going to say a little prayer of gratitude. And it may be that you actually end up feeling happier, you feel more satisfied with your life, and things don't affect you negatively. However, if you begin to get lax and you do not continue that behavior, more than likely you're going to default back to your gratitude set point or your attitude set point. And I'm here to tell you that when they did a study on people that acquired PMA, positive mental attitude, they found that the research showed that people said they either grew up in a family where a significant person in their life just seemed happy. They genetically bounced back. They were more resilient. And they promoted happiness. And then the research showed that other people who had positive mental attitude had to acquire it. They had to practice it, and they had to practice it with due diligence. Now, you've known some of those people, haven't you, that no matter what really happens to them, they make lemonade out of lemons. I mean, they really do. They promote positivity in their life. They're always able to identify things that are working as opposed to things that aren't working. And if you'd like more of that in your life, and yet you didn't come from a family that genetically could pass that down to you, then you really need to create an infrastructure whereby you'll remember to do it. Now, how do you create that infrastructure? Well, first you have to decrease your multitasking and identify positive mental attitude as being number one in your life. And then you have to rigorously and regularly carve out times to be positive. Now, this can be really tough in a harried, fast-paced life. That's why I always promote doing something like that in the mornings before life gets too out of control. And in a ritual, you know, maybe it's while you're brushing your teeth at night. Or maybe it's, I always encourage people to kneel down by their bed. And if they're uncomfortable with prayer, they need to thank the universe for bringing them some good things in their life. Now, everybody has good things. I don't care how lonely you are. I don't care what's happened to you. You know, just looking outside and saying, oh, my gosh, it's January in Indiana and it's 58 degrees out. That's a positive. You didn't have to do anything. That was just out there. You know, if you have a pen, to be able to journal, that's a positive. If you are somebody who may not like your job, but it affords you a roof over your head, that's a positive. So you stay very aware of the things that you're grateful for. You decrease the amount of time that you multitask. That allows you to stay in the moment. And then you think about what is it that you are passionate about. And I don't mean passionate as in what out there can make you happy. I want to know what inside makes you happy. Maybe it's reading something inspirational. Maybe it's sitting with your dog. Maybe it's watching your kids grow up. Okay, divorced, don't have kids, but 2 days every couple of weeks. At least you have that time to make an impact in their lives. So it's important to stay cognizant of those tools. Tools that absolutely will make you feel happy. And if you're afflicted with sexual addiction, whether you're just now beginning to understand that, maybe you're working a serious recovery program, or maybe you have what the big book promises. You've worked it to such a degree that you no longer have urges and cravings. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can still feel happy. You can still have gratitude. And you can still have some positive mental attitude, PMA, for where you are in your life. I don't care if you're sitting in jail right now. There's still reason to feel grateful. And if you can do that, you're going to be a healthier individual, both physically, emotionally, and psychologically. So that's a tool that I want you to remember. And, you know, I was working with somebody a couple of days ago who used to frequent prostitutes. And he has really abstained from that behavior for about 4 years now. And yet, he continues to be plagued by the need to watch pornography. And what I know to be true is even though he's abstained from prostitution, as long as pornography is in his life, at some point, he'll fall prey to that prostitution again. And so what my job is to help him eliminate the opportunity for pornography. And that requires rigorous honesty. He needs to talk to his wife. He needs to tell her that he's working on this. He needs to talk to a sponsor. He needs to share that information. Now, this man does not particularly believe in the 12-step program, so we've got him in Recovery Nation. And his coach has told him the same thing. You see, in Recovery Nation, I'm really going to see if we can get somebody from that organization to be on the show. That is a cognitive behavioral way of looking at addiction. Now, you know, it's kind of like Republican and Democrats. I mean, a lot of times people in 12-step don't think that people in Recovery Nation know what it takes to make changes. But I say different strokes for different folks, and everybody is different and can benefit from a variety of infrastructure. And so this man and I are going to work diligently to, A, provide better infrastructure. That means that he's going to have to pay more to have better accountability on his phone, on his laptop. I'm asking him to talk to his boss because he looks at porn at work. And I know that that can be very difficult because talking to his boss may mean that he loses his job. But I say, and this is where it's so important, you know, you go, okay, do I be honest and potentially lose my job? Well, he hasn't been honest with anybody about anything, and it's not working for him. So maybe in his honesty, his boss will help him with this issue, or maybe he will lose his job, and he'll have to find another job that doesn't have internet access, which means he may stay in recovery, and he'll work harder on this issue, you know, because sexual addiction can be life or death. I mean, if you don't get help for it, it will absolutely infiltrate your life, and you know, you won't be able to have a healthy and functioning life. It's hard to believe for people that are just now beginning to get involved with their sexual addiction and begin to understand that it's compulsive, and they can't imagine that it could absolutely take over their life and put them in jail or make them financially bankrupt or make them emotionally bankrupt. But it absolutely can. All right. I'm going to give you our number again. That's 646-595-3284. If you have a question about sexual addiction, just know that I am here to help in any way, shape, or form. Because there aren't many people that you can talk to about this. That's where I say, hey, 12-step groups are great. This radio show is obviously a community service. You know, I actually pay to do this show so that you can get the answers that you need. I take it really seriously, and I sure hope that you will too. Right, it looks like we have another caller. Yes, caller, what can I do for you?
Hello?
Are you yes, this is Carol the coach. What can I do for you?
Yes, hi. Well, I've only listened to your show once before. I'm 22 years old, and I think I may have a problem, but I'm not too sure. I don't know how to, like, what kind of questions do you ask? I'm not really sure how this works.
Well, feel free to discuss what you think the problem is, and then I'll tell you what I think you need to do about it.
Okay. Well, I'm in a steady relationship with a girl that I love. I mean, I'm 22, so, I mean, you know, I doubt I'll be with her for the rest of my life. And our you know, relationship in bed and outside of that is great, but I find myself in a problem where I crave more than what she can give, and I found myself, like, on a lot of, like, chat rooms online, stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, developing not even, like, emotional relationships, but just, like, you know, purely sexual relationships with women online, and up all different, you know, all the time. I mean, just, it's almost ceaseless. And I haven't told my girlfriend, but, I mean, it's just, I don't know how to feel, how to, you know, is this horrible? I mean, I'm sure it is, but, I mean, I don't really know.
Well, how long have you been visiting chat rooms?
Since I was probably 16, so pretty much when I first got high-speed internet, that was the first thing I started doing because it was just fun and new, and it just kind of stuck with me. You know, it's just, you know, the people that, you know, I see, I mean, that's not like I have any emotional interest in them. It's all just pure physical. And, you know, it's weird because it's virtual. So it's not as real as, you know, actually being with my girlfriend, but it still is like, you know, almost like that high. I got to get it, you know, I'll be in class and it's just like, got to get it. And there's nothing else on my mind.
So who knows about this? Who knows that you have difficulty staying out of the chat rooms and that you've got this high that you're always looking for?
No one. I mean, I'm ashamed of it. You know, like when my friends know that I've been there, but not like how I actually do it. You know, like, I mean, it's. Almost every night, you know, there's girls that I talk to, and, you know, I know quite a bit about them, and they know quite a bit about me, but, like, there's a couple of them that it's just on a regular basis we do it, you know,
Absolutely. Yes. And what you're saying is that you get on the chat rooms and you you have
dialogue. I meet them on the chat room, and then I go on Skype, so it's video. It's not an actual chat. It's actual video. So I see them, they see me.
Now, give me a name so that I can call you by name, even if it's not your real name.
What's a good alias?
Yeah.
Craig.
Craig. Okay, Craig. Now, obviously, at 22 years of age, I'm assuming that you have a specific type of female that you're looking for. Is that true?
I guess you could say.
And so is that person younger than your age, the same age or older?
Some of them are younger. One of them's my age, but there's one girl that's like 16. I know, and I just feel disgusted about it, but I didn't know she was 16 until, like, a couple times after we did it, and then I just felt absolutely disgusted with myself, just felt like, you know, pure garbage, nothing more, nothing less, for like a week.
Well, and I get that. I get that, and that was what I was going to say. Being that you are so young, and yet, obviously, this has been a situation you've been involved in for 6 years and doing it very regularly, and you would say that you have a compulsion for this, correct?
I would say that, yeah.
Okay. And you know, here's my fear for you. It's twofold. One is that obviously you've been doing this long enough that you do have an addiction, and my guess is you can't stop. So that's fear number one. Fear number two is because you're so young, I would assume that you're appealing to younger females, and at age 16, you're actually involved in kind of in child pornography with this young woman Skyping you and going through the motions.
Oh, I stopped. I stopped full stop on that. I couldn't do it.
Well, and I get that, but you know what? You already have, and so you've got to be, I mean, you could end up going to jail for this, and you sound like a really great guy who knows right from wrong, and you want to work on this. So now let me just ask you something else. Are you in a city, a town, or in a rural area?
I'm in Northern California, so I'm in one of the bigger cities.
I want you to go to a website called www.sexhelp.com, and I want you to look up a therapist who's actually certified and trained to help you with this, because you're young enough. The good news is that with some real specialized help, you can learn how to get out of this situation and quit putting yourself in this situation, because clearly this is going to escalate. It'll get worse and worse. And you're going
to
have...
I mean, sorry to interrupt, but would it be good to, you know, just sit down and... I mean, I've been with the girlfriend who I have now for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And she's a great girl. And, I mean, do you think it'd be best if I just came out full clean with her and just told her everything and kind of have her kind of give me that pep in my step, I guess, you know, to just help me out?
I wish it were that easy, that telling her would give you the pep in your step to do things differently. I think that's a great start, but I also think you need, I would not tell you to start there. I would ask you to go to some 12-step groups. Now,
I mean, I'm sure my university might have something too, or would you recommend going to the city?
Well, I think therapist. You can start with your university, absolutely. But don't be surprised if they don't have the specialty, because this is still kind of a new field. So I would highly recommend, again, that website. Go ahead and repeat it back so I know you know it.
www.sexhelp.com or org.
It is sexhelp.com, and then look up your zip code, your state, and find a certified sexual addictions therapist. Now, I don't know if you've got insurance or not.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Good. Then you're more likely to be able to get the help you need from somebody certified, because, Craig, and again, I know that's not your real name, but I cannot emphasize enough that you were really brave to call, and you really need to work this out with somebody who can get you to all the right places so that you don't have to struggle with this like
yeah.
you have been. And I really appreciate the fact that you made this call and that, you know, you want to come clean and you want to make a better life for yourself.
Of course,
okay?
Yeah.
Will you keep me posted either with your phone calls or with email and let me know when you've made that call?
Yeah, I thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the future. You have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Yes, he's very brave to have gotten on the line and to have wanted some help. They're just, I cannot express, that's a difficult step for somebody to make, and hopefully he'll be an inspiration to others that are listening to the show. He is a lot further along by calling at 22 than if he waits till he's 42, 52, or 62 to get help with this problem. And believe it or not, Craig, there are plenty of men and women that are in your situation that have been doing this for decades, not just years, but decades. And that's where I'm afraid you're headed. And again, you have no control over who you chat with and what their age is, and yet you can be arrested for that. And so, therefore, it is imperative that you keep yourself out of those situations, because it sounds like you got a lot going for you, and you definitely don't need to go to jail for impulse control problems. So thanks again for calling. Okay, so again, I cannot recommend enough that you listen to the show next week when we talk with Rob Weiss, who is director of 3 treatment centers in the country, and he's amazing. He inspired me to start my men's sexual addictions group, so I can't wait to talk to him, and thank you so much for your calls. As I say, at the end of every show, there will always be one of you. There is always just one of you at all times. So fearlessly, you have to have the courage to be yourself. And the courage means that you get honest. And when you get honest, then you look for the right help to make you the best person that you absolutely can become. And I'll see you next week. Feel free to email me, and we will talk again soon.